Hello, everybody, and welcome to Turn to Page, Season 4, Book 16 of Twistaplot, The Secrets of the Lost Island. Ooh, wait, by Lynn Beach? I just saw that for
That's
the first time.
That's a conflict of interest. You can't write about a lost island, Lynn Beach. Take her up the case.
Yeah, you can't do that. You can't do that. How are you doing, Raps?
I'm doing very well. I'm doing very well in a very specific tactile sense, as this is another one of the episodes where we have the physical copy of the book ourselves to hold in our hands. And the texture of this cover does kind of take me back about a decade. And ideally it should take me back 4 decades.
Yeah, it is.
Ain't that fun?
It is. It is an old... You know what I'll say? Like, for as far as, you know, we've been... reading the digital versions, it's a lot smaller. These are a lot smaller than I thought they'd be.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. They were big in my head. It's like, you know, when you're a kid and everywhere you go is like, it just feels so grandiose. And then you go as an adult and you're like, this place is so small.
Rhetorically, yes, I understand what you mean. However, by the time I was 10, I was already 6'2". So that didn't really happen to me. Most of the places are about exactly as big as I remember them.
Well, okay. Then rhetorically, you know the vague concept of that.
Yes, indeed, I do.
Wow.
I can extrapolate.
Seamless conversation. Achieved. Where's our points? Thank you. But yeah, we have the actual books for this one. It's kind of fun. Shout out Patreon for helping to support so that we could actually, you know, this is when we say, hey, you want to help on the Patreon to actually like help out the podcast anyway, this is one of those ways. Like, we have access to this book. Otherwise, The Secrets of the Lost Island would be lost. There's no like digital archive of this anywhere, for us to kind of like access in kind of the archive.org. sort of space. So hey, you know, patreon.com/turnthepagecast. Thank you guys over there. We have the book. So this cover, it's a little bit harder to... it's a very dark cover. Is a mermaid. I don't know what else to say. There's a mermaid, there's a squid, there's some people.
There's someone who looks like a villain in a 1970s sci-fi.
Yeah.
He has hair exclusively where neocortex does. and quite a serious frown on him.
Yeah.
I'm seeing aquatic creatures. I'm seeing, like, the protagonist of a lot of, like... the protagonist of Neverending Story.
Yeah.
Is that what it was called?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, the one with Melkor and stuff.
The one that's still going on, yeah.
Yeah.
They should wrap that up. I don't know.
They really should.
It's just getting
annoying.
But there's also... I think there's, like, an Atlantis potentially... a little bit of an Atlantis in the bottom right, possibly, maybe? And a big squid
with... I'd like to get to Atlantis.
Yeah. Big old squid with some swirly tentacles kind of looping in on themselves and making me a little bit uncomfortable, might I add.
It's in the shape, the Uzumaki, the spiral.
Yes. Well, are you ready to book? There's no no dedication page. This is to nobody. This is to us. This is to all the us out there.
Indeed.
Why don't you beware us?
Beware. Don't write this book from beginning to end. You're about to embark on a strange voyage, a voyage that will lead you into a land of mystery and danger. At the end of this voyage, you may find yourself rich and famous, of course, or you may be doomed to a watery grave. The choice is yours. You'll make your own decisions and choose your own paths by following the directions at the bottom of each page. You choose what happens to you. If you get into trouble, turn back and choose a different path. If you're having a good time, keep going. The Secrets of Lost Island will work for you if you can stay sharp-witted in the face of frightening underwater creatures, a mad scientist's sinister plot, and all the untold perils of Lost Island. It is a challenge only the very bold should attempt. So, Rito, rich and famous or doomed in a watery grave? Which, if you had to choose, gun to your head, you have to pick one.
Can I not choose rich in a watery grave? Like... that's so metal. Like, if you are rich in a watery grave, you become the next plot point the new Pirates of the Caribbean movie. Like,
oh, absolutely.
They'll have to
search up and down to find a compass that points directly to a map that points to you. Oh, man. That's sequel opportunities there, baby. You know how many screen hours we can get of Johnny Depp waddling?
Oh, my goodness. What if he slurs his speech?
Oh, I see. You're ahead of me here.
What if there's a map that leads to the compass that leads to the map? That leads to a compass that leads to a map? And at the end of the movie, you find out that the treasure was just buried in your hometown all along.
I like a twist. I like a twist like that.
The twist is that the movie did not need to happen. That's always people love when a twist in a book, movie, show invalidates the entire experience that they just had. People love that.
That's why everyone's such a big fan of the it was a dream. It was a dream the whole time ending.
I love it.
It's so impactful.
Yeah, because it makes me see that and I go, hey, first I was like, this is unrealistic. But now I'm like, hey, this is pretty realistic. I could have a dream like that too.
Yeah, exactly.
Anything that was realistic, a plot hole,
anything that was a continuity error, anything that didn't make sense in the universe, all of that dream logic makes sense.
Like, my dreams have so many plot holes, it's not even funny. You know, you wake up and you're like, I would not have shot that person.
That's the plot. I would have let them live.
I wouldn't have shot them. They were just standing there. Like, why would I have done that? That's a plot hole. Where's the motivation? Where's the drive? Like, sloppy at best.
Right. It's not very complex of a characterization for you to just walk up on this child, by the way, 7 years old, from behind, point blank.
Can we please not rewrite my dream? I was vulnerable, and I already said that I shot an innocent. You took it a step further and said that I'm a child murderer. I'll have you know that probably wasn't true. I don't remember my dreams very well. I just remember, like,
I'll wake up. Really good motivation.
If you don't remember
your dreams very well, that person might have done something to warrant being shot in the back of the head, again, at the age of 5.5 years old.
It was my Three Musketeers that I don't even like. I love justice. I don't think that Three Musketeers is a very good candy bar. It is. Mm-hmm. Has it made transit? I'm assuming no, because it's bad.
The Three Musketeers? I'm familiar that it is a candy bar, and also some Frenchmen with swords.
Yeah, so I'm talking about the Frenchmen.
It might have been Spaniards.
I'm talking about the French Spaniards, obviously. Yeah. They're not very good candy. Okay, the candy bar, it's fine. It's like, you have it when it's there. It's one of those, it's just like the, is it even nougat? I don't know. It's like a chocolate nougat, and that's it. It's like, Three Musketeers is like they go, hey, you know those three, like, really good candy bars? What if we had only one of the ingredients in it? And it was that. And it was just that.
That seems like a misnomer.
It should be called the
One Musketeers.
Why is Snickers, which has, I don't know, I think more than three ingredients, but, like, let's ignore that. What, closer to three ingredients... Well, okay, the Three Musketeers is like, the chocolate is one of the Musketeers, the nougat is the other Musketeer, and you're the third Musketeer. There you go. I solved their plot hole.
The Musketeer was us all along.
Yes. All right, let's get to this book. Good God. Jesus. Tall Waves. Sorry, prepare for an adventure as Secrets of the Lost Island begin to unfold on page 2. All right, we've officially started the book already. What a... speed run that was. Tall waves are crashing all around, drenching you with wet spray. You hear the first rumble of thunder from a storm. The little cruiser Louise is tossing and jumping, and you carefully make your way to the cabin, where your Uncle Dave is trying desperately to turn the boat to shore.
We'll never make it!
He shouts.
I'm gonna head straight for that island!
Go to the next page. Only a few hours ago, the day was bright and calm. You're glad to help your uncle on the boating trip. You know it means a lot to him. Several weeks ago, his wife, your aunt Louise, disappeared while swimming in these same waters. That's not a good sign when we've named the boat after Louise, and this is several weeks ago. That's not a good sign. Your aunt Louise disappeared.
The only thing we know is that these waters do not treat Louise well. That's like, okay, I'm sending out the rescue craft for the people on the Titanic. Let's go, Titanic 2!
His wife, your Aunt Louise, disappeared while swimming in these same waters. Now, every weekend, it's several weeks ago. Now, every weekend, Dave takes his boat to look for Louise.
That's just not very dedicated.
I know, it's not like that much of a hero. It's just, I...
Like, if it was a couple of years past and he was doing it every weekend, I'd be like, okay, yeah, fair enough. But it's a couple of weeks past. You should be doing it every other day. Maybe every day. Maybe look for your wife.
I know, look for your wife. She went missing 3 weeks ago. I look every Saturday and Sunday for her. It's so
between the
crazy.
Hours of 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. because I don't get that long of a lunch break and I'm on shift.
This is just nuts already. You know what? It was probably all a dream, thus for this plot hole.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Everyone else has... Wait. He thinks she may be on one of the many deserted islands in the bay. Everyone else has given up hope. Even the Coast Guard, who has searched for days. You think they're probably right. The book should just end here. You know, they don't want to find her. You think they're probably right. Still, you want to help Dave. If there even is a slight chance she may be alive, you want to help him with his weekend hobby. But now, both you and Dave are in serious trouble. Water's everywhere, the boat is tilting at a crazy angle. You run back on deck, up ahead are jagged rocks on the shore of the island. The waves are pushing you closer and closer. What should you do? Should you hold onto the boat, or will your chances be better if you try swimming for the island? Decide now, before the waves decide for you. Stay with the boat, 20. Safer to swim for shore, 12. It is called The Secrets of the Lost Island, not The Secrets of the Boat That We Know Where It Is. Just putting that out there.
Let's swim for the shore then.
So
I was just putting myself in the position for a period of time and recognizing that I absolutely would go down with the ship.
Oh, baby. In action or action? Sign me up for just staying right here.
Hell yeah. These legs ain't moving.
Mm-hmm. All right. You let go of the boat and fall into the water. Okay, great start. You feel someone grab your arm and realize that Dave has abandoned the boat, too. The two of you swim for your lives, hoping you'll reach the island, but the current has turned. And you see now that you're being swept away towards the open ocean. Oh, man. Suddenly, something bumps you from under the water. Your foot bangs against the cold, hard metal that is lifting you both out of the water.
What on earth?
Dave mutters. You and Dave exchange looks of complete disbelief as you realize that a submarine is surfacing beneath you. Terrified, you hold on, and after a moment, the hatch opens. You look inside. You look back at the raging sea. There's really no choice. The two of you climb into the sub. Turn to page 62. I hear hatch, and I just think lost. That's all that word is
the secrets of Lost Island. I honestly expected you to recite the numbers as soon as we got to the opening.
it's been on my mind, but I was waiting for the end. Like, I feel like I talk about Lost too much, so I just wanted to get a more logical in, and I was like, hatch, that's good, that works. Lost is coming to Netflix soon, at least in the US. Congratulations, everyone.
Hell yeah, the rewatch begins.
Yeah, 62. Darkness surrounds you inside the submarine. You and Dave look around. On two of the shiny metal walls are doors secured with large round handles. You can hear a ghostly clanging coming from far off. You look longingly at the sky beyond the open hatch.
Maybe we oughta...
You start to say. But at that moment, the hatch begins to close, locking you in. You and Dave talk it over. You don't know what is awaiting you behind the closed doors, but you know you will go crazy sitting here in the dark, listening to the ghostly clanging sounds. The only remaining question, which door do you open? The round door, 24? Or if you prefer the rectangular door, page 8? Reps?
Depends.
I feel like you've got
a
large preference. Yeah. I mean... Humans are more rectangular than they are circular, even if they are one of the more circular humans. They are still, generally speaking, a little bit more rectangular.
Okay, rectangle human goes in the rectangle hole.
Page 8. The door opens with a hiss. Uh-oh. When you step through, you're surprised by the sound of laughter, and then you stop and look around. You're in a small circular room. Ugh. On the walls
what?
Of the room
That's
are...
That's not what I signed up for!
I thought this was the rectangle room. On the walls of the room are a strange, round projection. Oh, man. Around the side of the room, there are chairs, and seated in the chairs are strange creatures, each more bizarre than the last. You see a mermaid, her flowing red hair decorated with seashells. Next to her is a blonde bearded pirate picking his teeth with a knife. Across from the pirate is a man who looks like a 19th century boat captain.
What's going on here?
You say? I mean, not my first thought to refer to a pirate and a 19th century boat captain as creatures. Not my first...
You know what? I wouldn't even refer to the mermaid as a creature. I'd be like, that's a person. That's a person with fish legs. The people, unambiguously, not creatures.
Also, each more bizarre than the last starts with mermaid, ends with a guy.
Just a guy from the 19th century.
Just a guy. Even the pirate.
And then the most absurd thing you've ever seen in your life, Dave!
No.
Hi, I have an undergraduate from Northwestern.
Oh my god, you bizarre really creature. Magnificent specimen, Dave. All right. 19th century boat captain.
What's going on here?
You say. And at that moment, a deep booming voice cries.
Seize them!
Two sailors, one with a peg leg, reach out and grab you and Dave. I forgot Dave was actually the name of the book. I was like, are you psychic? Pinning your arms behind your backs.
Well,
says the deep voice.
What have we here?
Approaching you is a huge round man with an oily bald head.
Who are you?
Says Dave. Go on to page 88.
I'll ask the questions around here,
says the bald man.
But for your information, I'm Dr. Lamprey, owner of Lost Island and captain of this submarine. You may address me as Sir.
Tell your men to let us go,
says Dave. Then, sounding angry, he adds,
Sir,
I will on one condition,
says Dr. Lamprey.
Will you promise to cooperate no matter what happens?
What if we don't?
You say.
Then you walk the plank.
Dr. Lamprey begins laughing, his huge body shaking all over. The pirate and mermaid join in with the laughter.
I don't know what's going on, but all these people are crazy.
Dave whispers. You agree. You whisper back and forth, trying to decide if you can trust them. At last, you reach a decision. If you decide to promise to cooperate with Dr. Lamprey, page 84. If you refuse, 34.
What do we think? Do we cooperate with piracy?
I mean, as far as we're aware, pirates are mythical creatures. So, I don't know.
So we're just up to some fantastical shenanigans.
Yeah, he's got a cool name. Dr. Lamprey is a really cool name. I like that. Good imagery. I enjoy it. What's he a doctor?
Very
of?
Nautical.
That's very, very nautical of you. 84.
Let's hit up 84. Okay, we'll do what you want.
You say?
Excellent,
says Dr. Lamprey when he hears your decision.
Release them.
He orders the two sailors.
Now, stand over there.
He tells you and Dave, and he points to a spot along the wall.
Good. These are the two survivors of a shipwreck. Everyone got that? Okay. You two look scared.
You and Dave exchange worried glances. Clearly this man has gone bonkers.
No good,
says Dr. Lamprey.
Look more scared. Better. Now, lights!
The room is suddenly lit with blindingly bright lights.
Camera!
You hear a whirring and now realize that the strange projections on the bulkhead were cameras.
Action!
With that, the room erupts into life. The pirate fights with the two sailors. The mermaid wiggles her tail, and you realize that somehow, you and Dave have gotten in the middle of a movie set. And you smile a moment before you go back to looking frightened, because you are going to be a star at the end of the book.
We're famous!
Rich and famous percent. that's, as far as we're aware, that's always the best possible option. So, I don't know, man. That seems good to me. Rich and famous.
I mean... as long as we negotiate for a percentage of the net profits rather than gross profits, we can get out of this with good residuals for the rest of our life. We can get a $3,000 check for each month for the rest of our lives. Easy.
So true. Who cares about that dude's wife? We'll just buy a new one, right?
We abandoned two Louises over the course of this story.
All right. So we won. This is another, I'm going to say, not even rare event in Twistoplot at this point for us. We speed ran to the good get rich ending.
It's true.
But let's
we
keep
have
going
plucked a success, which gives us the ability to explore all of the non-successes, such as not cooperating with these pirates.
Let's go over to page 34 and not do as this man says, while keeping in mind that they are 100% a film crew. And I'm sure it will still stay that way.
Forget it, Lamprey.
You say?
You can't make us do anything.
You're not cooperating with this kook.
You'll regret this.
Dr. Lamprey says.
Put him in irons.
You struggle. Is there a union rep here? you struggle, but soon the sailors have handcuffed you and Dave to an iron railing in a small, dark, windowless cabin. You can feel the submarine diving. Its engines sound loud as it roars along. At last, it begins to surface again. Neither you nor Dave says anything, but you know that you're both very, very scared. What will happen to you now? You'll find out soon enough. The two sailors open the door and without a word take off your handcuffs, and they force you through the submarine and up the ladder to the hatch. They push you out of the hatch. It's the darkest night, and you hear water splashing as you fall from the top of the submarine. To find out what awaits you at the bottom, turn to page 65.
Is it rich? Is it fame?
As you tumble off the submarine to the water, a strong current pulls you down, down, and down. This is surely the end of both of you. But wait! A tremendous suction pulls you from the ocean floor. You and Dave are swept into what seems to be a long metal tunnel. The suction shoots you up into a shallow pool. The water in the pool is warm. There's an odd fishy smell in the air. And suddenly, a harsh barking sound makes you both jump. It's so dark that you can't see where the noise is coming from. You can't even see each other. All at once, you're blinded by a bright light that is snapped on overhead.
What's going on here?
Yells a man wearing a night watchman's uniform. You look around you, and on all sides are seals. Excited by the commotion, the seals are leaping around, swimming in circles. Then you realize what has happened. You and Dave got caught up in the pipe that leads to the city aquarium. What city? On the island? I guess?
The deserted islands?
Yeah, the deserted island city aquarium. It's a misnomer.
With a night watchman on.
With a night watchman. I just need... He's there to make sure that nobody shows up so that it can remain deserted. Wait a minute.
Hey, get out of here. Don't you know this place is uninhabited?
Looking at a mirror all night.
You talking to me?
Hey, why are you on a... Dave got caught up in the pipe that leads to the city aquarium. You are in the seal room. This all starts to be... yeah. This all starts to seem very funny to you.
Oh, it's weird,
Dave.
Now.
Yeah, now this is weird. You begin flipping around and making seal noises. No, you're not crazy. You're just happy that your nightmare adventure has finally come to an end.
We did it. We're rich and famous again. We get to clap for strangers here in the aquarium all the time. We will be viewed by thousands of strangers and tourists every single day. And we get all the fish carcasses we can eat.
I might be a hot take. I would rather be in the seal room than be in a movie. Maybe hot take. Maybe hot take, maybe not hot take.
Rita. A friend of mine was mentioning the other day what they wanted as their ideal 30th. And I was prepared for the usual thing, which is someone proposes a plan and I'm like, oh, look, I'll go because I like you, right?
Yeah.
But no, they said petting zoo.
Oh, win. Yeah.
Extreme win. That is the exact same mood that I would have here of like, I just get to hang out with seals this whole time. Those are just wet dogs. It's just a wet dog that doesn't smell like wet dog. This is great.
Yeah, I'm with it. I love seals. They're very fun to watch. Okay, so.
Oh, adorable.
So we have exhausted the rectangle door route.
And ooh, time to go through the circle door.
There's nothing but success. There's nothing but success in the rectangle door route. But
it would be fun to discover that there is a book that has nothing but success on every single branch.
I will say it is really messed up that the director and actors would do that to us, though. Like,
oh yeah.
What do they know? How do they get the pipe very quickly from this deserted island all the way to the seal room in the deserted island zoo? Yep. All right.
I love how pipes work in media that's for,
it's like Mario.
Know, not necessarily adults. Mm-hmm. It can connect anything to anything. It's Mario logic.
Yeah. It's like, you know, when you're a kid and you see like those big sewer kind of tunnel things.
Oh, yeah.
You look at that and you're like, that probably goes to Germany.
Yep.
You know?
That looks like a distinctly German entrance there. I can tell
you. It is German as hell. Oh my goodness. All right. Page 62 is where we make our choice. But what is it? 24. 24 for the round.
Circular door.
24 for the round door. You step into a long, low room with metal walls and floor.
Oh. Nondescript floor. Metal walls, though.
It's probably metal floor is what they mean. But it does read as just, you walk into a room with a wall and floor. Okay, great. It's me doing my first D&D campaign as a teenager. The walls feel distinctly sturdy. And the floor holds you up well. What do you do? Help? All right. The room is furnished with a metal table and chairs, but that is all. Your footsteps echo metallically whenever you take a step.
Hello?
Calls Dave.
Is anyone here?
The only answer is an echo.
Yeah.
You and Dave continue to explore the sub. You find a room containing bunks for sleeping. You find a galley. I was going to say gallery, but no, nautical. Galley. It is stocked with peanut butter and bread, but you don't find any other people except for the peanut butter and bread. The last room you explore is the control room. Through a tiny, thick window, you can see the green sea outside. You and Dave look at each other.
I guess it's time I learn how to drive this thing.
He says. The only problem is neither of you has any idea how to run a submarine. The two of you study the complicated control panel. There's dials and gauges, switches and lights, two large red buttons on the panel that are labeled manual and automatic. Go to page 25. There's a button that says drive itself. I don't know. Dave shrugs.
Your guess is as good as mine.
He says.
Which one shall we try?
Think it over carefully. If you decide to put the submarine on automatic control, press automatic and turn to page 60. Manual, page 51. You know, as much as I goofed and gaffed at it, it does feel like it's one of those situations where maybe it's so too obvious.
Yeah, the autopilot for this is so that it has the ability to jam itself into an underwater volcano and, you know, keep it dormant for the next 1,000 years. Like,
yeah.
It's definitely going to be a bad end.
But yeah, we're in a missile.
See what it is. Like,
yeah.
You know what? We already have a good success. Screw me
up. Yeah. Automatic. We find out that we are just in an underwater missile, and it just automatic is just
buy it out
continue. Yeah, continue to the course. All right. You press the button. The engine roars, and the submarine suddenly begins to sink down, down, and down, and then thump. Lands on the bottom of the sea. You and Dave look out the round window, and ahead you see the remains of a sunken ship. A sunken sailing ship. Its rotting mast sways gently in the underwater current. Fish of every color and shape swim in and out through the holes in its side. Besides one of the holes lies a rotted iron box. Spilling from its half-open top are what appear to be gold coins. Ahem, doubloons.
Look, Dave!
You say?
Sunken treasure!
Too bad we can't go get it.
He says.
But we can!
You say?
There's a diving suit in one of the lockers. I bet that gold is worth a fortune.
That suit's too small for me,
says Dave.
I don't think it's safe for you to go out there either.
But you're determined. Eventually, you talk Dave into letting you go after the treasure. You carefully put on the suit. The air supply gauge reads half full. Now, close the airlock and open the hatch. Plot twist. It says half empty. Oh, no! Then turn the page 75 to see what happens next. You feel weightless as you walk from the submarine to the sunken ship. Ghostly shadows move all around you. There's sudden movement in front of you. You jump back. But it's only a rose-colored fish. As you approach the sunken chest, you see that it's guarded by an ancient human skeleton. The bones sway back and forth in the sea current. It's almost seeming alive. beginning to think that maybe it wasn't such a good idea to come out here after all. You scoop up the coins, the balloons, and put them into a bag that you brought along. Soon, your bag is nearly full. You look at your air gauge. You're shocked to see it's almost empty. Better hurry back to the sub. A sudden gleam catches your eye. You see half buried in the mud a beautiful necklace. Looks as if it's made of diamonds. Maybe you can get it before your air runs out. And maybe you can't. What do you do? A few extra seconds to dig the necklace out of the mud. 64. If you think it's safer to take your bag of coins and doubloons back to the sub, turn to page 42.
All right, wait. Rita, what do you think?
I mean, it's like, it's the choice that seems smart and the choice that seems dumb, but like, we can make dumb choices at this point. It doesn't really matter.
We absolutely can.
Let's do it.
It'll only cost us a page.
Yeah, sure. 64?
64.
Let's get richer and famouser. That's the correctest win.
Let's get richer and die trying.
We will be rich and, you know, sunken. What was that word in the opening? You know, it was so long ago, 30 whole minutes ago. You decide that there is just enough time to get the necklace before your air runs out. Quickly, you kneel down and begin to pull it from the mud. But it seems to be stuck on something. You lean closer, and then you feel a tug. Somehow, your air hose has become tangled up with the skeleton. The air gauge now reads empty. You immediately forget all about the necklace because, frantically, you begin to pull your air hose away from the skeleton, but you cannot. It's almost as if the skeleton was deliberately holding on. As you take your last gasp of air, you realize soon there will be two skeletons guarding this treasure. The end.
No one else is going to get this treasure as long as I'm a skeleton.
Let's go. We got our dream, or at least my dream.
Woo!
Of being rich.
Our eternal reward.
Yeah. All right, fine. Let's do the smart thing and not take the necklace, which obviously not.
No greed.
You think you have enough... It said we had enough air to dig out the necklace. Important note there, even if that's true, that is not enough to dig out the necklace and then get back to the submarine. Just quite literally. Mm-hmm. You have enough.
Especially
to
if you're trapped by a skeleton.
Yeah, that's true. 42. You look sadly at the necklace. Well, but your air supply is just too low. Holding the bag of gold coins, you head back to the submarine. 3 days later, you and Uncle Dave are standing in the office of... What the heck? It just happened so fast. 3 days later...
And this isn't an end page?
Okay. Yeah. You head back to the submarine. You escape. You make it back home 3 days later. You and Uncle Dave are standing at the office of a professor at the university. You don't even want to think about all the trouble you had getting the submarine at home, because then we'd have to write about it. There were too many close calls, and you especially don't want to remember trying to explain how you got the submarine in the first place. For now, all you can think about is the gold coins and the balloons. You're sure they're going to make you and Dave very, very rich. The professor is studying the coins carefully with a magnifying glass.
Remarkable,
he says.
Remarkable. Utterly remarkable.
Each time he says remarkable, you imagine another $1,000,000 in your bank account. At least he's finished examining them. He sets the bag of coins on his desk, doubloons. Go to page 39. What do we think? Chocolate coins or...
Chocolate. Absolutely chocolate coins.
Chocolate coins.
I don't know how we didn't realize it.
Well, asks Dave.
What are they worth?
The professor begins to chuckle.
I suppose they might be worth a few dollars to a museum.
What do you mean?
You cry.
These coins are gold.
They're brass,
says the professor.
And they're not even real coins. But I must say, they are some of the most remarkable examples I have seen of ancient counterfeit coins. Counterfeit?
You echo. With a sinking feeling, you realize that you're not going to be rich after all. But maybe a museum will buy the coins, and then maybe Uncle Dave can get another boat, and then maybe, just maybe, you'll go on another adventure. And another, and another. The end for now. What?
Anyway, your uncle's still really sad for some reason. You can't figure out why.
That's no point. He's just not mentioned at all. What are you thinking, Lynn?
Just... flip him a dollar coin and buy yourself a new wife with all our riches.
Oh my god. All right, well,
I guess... if he gets another boat, is he gonna call it Louise 2 or should he call it Louise 3?
Probably Louise 3. Oh no. All right.
Oh boy, Although, this is one of the only ones that ends with the end for now. Like, true. Is this setting up canonically that any other adventure could follow this as long as we either don't have an uncle named Not Dave?
Every other book we've read in Turn to Page leading up to this was actually a sequel to this. This is a prequel to all of them, but they're not all in the same series. This just comes before all of them individually, but they're not all related necessarily. So.
Yeah, like the branching paths in stories like this. Like, in one of them, they're movie directors, and one of them, they're pirates.
Yeah, exactly. Do you want to find out what happens if we press the manual button and we do the ship?
Absolutely. Where is that?
50.
51.
You press the manual button, and the motor whirs to life. The lights on the control panel start blinking. The submarine is moving. You and Uncle Dave begin to experiment with the controls. You figure out how to make the submarine go forward and backwards. You figure out how to make the sub turn, but you can't figure out how to make it go up. Suddenly, a large red light on the control panel begins to flash on and off, and a siren goes off as a sign lights up. Object straight ahead. What do you do now? Make a decision quickly. Turn left or right, page 7. Safer to go down, press dive and go to page 60. Go in reverse, page 74.
Okay, so we don't have a full steam ahead charge right through the object.
Yeah?
That's not a shame.
What are you thinking? I feel like I've made
I'm thinking if we tried to go left or right, we might actually just, like, pitch ourselves left or right and still just crash into it with our side. And
fair.
That we might want to go down.
To page 60. You press the button, and the engine roars, and the submarine slowly begins to sink down, 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 thump, lands at the bottom of the sea. You and Dave look out the round window, and ahead you see the remains. Wait. Is it?
It is.
Okay. Never mind. So, do you want to go left or do you want to
but
go reverse?
Dave, sunken treasure.
Yeah.
Well, we can't go get it. But we can. It's this page again. The exact same sunken wreck. It leads to 75, which leads to the exact same previous decision that we just had to make.
I think I'm going to take the time to dig up that necklace. Yeah.
Ooh. All right. Side to side, maybe? Seven?
Right. Page 7. You decide to turn, but the sub is not responding. You can see the object ahead in the water. It's a large rock. It's getting closer and closer. Then, at the last second, the submarine turns to the right, missing it. You and Dave breathe a sigh of relief. For hours, you continue to glide through the sea. There's no radio to break the eerie silence, and whenever you're hungry, you eat peanut butter sandwiches. When you get tired, you take turns sleeping and operating the submarine. You begin... really burying the lead on the fact that... How is there nobody in the sub? How is there not anyone in the sub when it... Anyways.
It surfaced and we got in.
Yeah.
So, who surfaced it?
I mean, where's the pirates?
We haven't opened the rectangle mermaid. Door yet. That's They're all true. Just hanging out in there with the mermaid.
That's right. They're making a movie the whole time. I forgot. You begin to lose track of time. If only you knew where you were. But the submarine goes on, and in boredom, you explore the submarine again, and then to your surprise, you discover something that you haven't noticed before. It's a small door in the wall in the back of the control room. You open it, and let out a yell of excitement.
Uncle Dave!
You cry.
Look at this!
It's his wife. Not mentioned. Behind the door is a large switch. Beneath it is a sign. Pull switch to surface. Pull the switch, and... turn to page 13 to see what happens next. You surface.
What you found, son? Is it my wife? Oh, wait. Surfacing. I guess that's okay, too.
I forgot that's not on my mind at all.
Only address me in that register if you found my wife. I don't know how to tell you. Any excitement makes me think you might have found Louise.
Yeah. Hey, Uncle Dave, you know how you were looking for your wife?
Yeah.
Well, I found a lever.
Okay.
Let's pull it.
I was really hoping it'd be my wife this time.
Why would you think that? Why would you think that?
I'm not rich enough to forget her.
Page 13. Right? Wait. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Page 13 indeed.
To your delight, it works. The submarine pops through the top of the water and sits floating on the waves, rocking from side to side. Excitedly, you and Dave go to the airlock and open the hatch. All around you, as far as you can see, is brilliant blue water, capped with foamy waves. Through the cloudless sky shines a hot tropical sun.
I don't know where we are,
says Dave.
But for sure this isn't the bay.
Ahead in the distance is a tiny speck that might be his wife. Nope, an island. You go back to the control room. You don't know how to steer the submarine on the surface, but neither one of you wants to go underwater again, although it's only the only way you feel confident running the submarine. How will you get to the island? Underwater or try and steer it from above water?
I'm going to say underwater, and I'm actually going to use logic on this, which is to say that the currents, I believe currents are stronger near the surface.
It's true. Let's see if they respect logic, because it is logical.
And they did mention that a current had like pushed us away before.
So basically,
mm-hmm.
You play it safe and go back underwater. Now that you know how to resurface, you're not that worried. Smoothly, the sub surfaces at the edge of the island. Up close, you can see that the island is fairly big. All along the shore, you see anchored ships. The ships are flying the flag of the United States.
We found a Navy base,
says Dave, surprised. You don't stop to wonder how you're going to explain your presence here, let alone where you got the submarine. That'll go well. You only know that you can't wait to stand on dry land again. The end. Okay. I don't think that's going to go well.
Not at all. I think we might get sunk.
Uncle Dave, was your wife in the Navy?
She a high-ranking officer? That would be helpful. Maybe we should approach above water.
Yeah, we'll give that a go.
Where's that hanging at?
70.
70.
It's easier to surface than you expected to steer on the surface. As the submarine approaches the island, you see that it's covered with palm trees. You can't see any buildings, but suddenly the engine begins to cough and sputter. Then the submarine stops.
We seem to have run out of fuel,
says Dave.
Let's hope the people on this island are friendly.
You dive into the waves and swim the short distance to the island. The beach is white and spotless. There's a single set of footprints leading from the beach to the nearest grove of the trees. I know this one. It's Jesus.
That's where Jesus carried us.
There's someone here,
says Dave. At that moment, a figure steps out from behind a coconut palm. You cannot believe your eyes. It's another lever. It's actually your Aunt Louise. She runs up to you, and she and Dave hug each other, both full of questions.
How did you get here?
Dave asks. Go to page 87.
I'm not sure how I got here,
says Louise.
I got in trouble swimming one day. I nearly drowned, but when I woke up, I was in the hold of a boat. I heard the sailors talking. I think they were kidnapping me. I saw this island through a porthole, so I jumped overboard and swam here.
Where are we?
Says Uncle Dave.
I don't know. There's no one else on the island, but there's plenty to eat in a freshwater stream.
I guess we'll wait for rescue together,
says Uncle Dave. You can tell from his smile he wouldn't mind waiting for years. As for you, you're not so sure. You're happy for Uncle Dave and Aunt Louise, but you never liked coconuts. Still, there could be advantages, like hidden immunity idols. You won't have to go to school while you're here, and while you're waiting for rescue, you'll be able to get the best suntan of your life. The end. Finding...
I don't know. In the other one, I got to be in a movie, so...
I know. In the other one, I got to be in the seal room. This one, yeah, it's exactly. Like, I and it's not don't like coconuts.
It's not like Dave was constantly crying. It's not like he missed her or anything like that. So I could have money. I could be in a movie.
He seemed more happy to be in the movie than to see
He movies. Really did.
So, I don't know. But hey, I mean, that's a good end. That's a good end.
And the weird what thing seems is like probably most the ambiguous. Most complete good ending.
I know, it's weird. It seems like the most accurate complete ending, but also the most ambiguous on whether or not it truly is good, because we don't know if we get saved. You know, like the other ones.
Oh, yeah.
The other
we're
ones.
We're stuck on this island. I didn't even internalize that part.
Yeah, like the other ones, we were saved. Like this one, it's the good ending because we found the aunt, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like that's the win. But also, like, I think that this one would be the canonical good ending, but it's also, like, the least clearly good.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's interesting.
Although, like, speaking of, we did have more good endings, I think, than we might typically in a novel like this.
It's true. I will say one thing. For the sake of completely exhausting this whole side of the book.
Oh, sure.
Let's go to page 74 and reverse the submarine, because let me just tell you, it's not going to add much more time.
Let's reverse that submarine.
That's what my dance moves on the old dance floor. That's what they call it. I don't dance. Can you tell? You try and reverse course.
Yeah, no, people only do the submarine forward. No one does a reverse submarine. You'd have to break your knees to do that. Can't believe it.
Why do you think I don't dance? Ow, ow, ow. You try and do the reverse the course. The submarine begins to shake all over. Now more lights blink and another siren goes off. A flashing sign reads, "Object in back." Uh-oh. Quickly, you and Dave try and turn the sub. You begin to press switches, any switches, but it's too late. With a shuddering crash, the submarine comes to a stop. Water begins to pour into the control room. Alas, you have learned a valuable lesson too late. It's not safe to drive a submarine without a license. The end. That's like the only bad ending.
In all of the other endings, it is safe to drive a submarine without a license.
I know. Object detected behind you. It's your wife.
Back up.
Yeah, hey. I mean, we freaking did it. Like, if we got more book out of this, we'd have to go all the way back and decide on page 3. That's the most, like, exhaustive. Yeah, I think we've been in one of these in the sense that we fully cleared an entire half of the book. Well, but the thing is that probably implies
some secrets in this lost island.
Yeah, that probably implies that the page 20 route, staying on the boat, actually takes up a bigger percentage of the book than this side does. But it's kind of nice to just have like a hundo P completion on your route like that, though. That's nice.
Yeah, exactly. Gives you more of a complete view of the world, especially considering that on each branch the world changes. So yeah. The closer the branches are together, the more a complete view of the world you get.
It's true. And only one route features Aunt. But hey.
Insofar as we've seen.
True. Yeah. On that half of the book.
Rito.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, one of the things we missed out on is mentioned on the back page, not the back page, the back cover, which is, do you dare trust a talking squid?
SpongeBob.
Yeah. I would. He seems like his heart's in the right place.
Yeah. He's the most.
Hearts.
Yeah. Growing up is sympathizing with Squidward too much, you know?
Yeah. Oh, 100%. If I watched SpongeBob over again, I imagine that I would exclusively sympathize with Squidward. I can't do it.
Yeah. It's like the leaf blower episode. It just resonates, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's so good. Anyways, I say leaf blower episode, but there's that one too, but I meant like, never mind. Anyways. Doesn't matter. Squidville. That's the one. I watched it recently. That's a very good... That's a good film. That's what I'm going to say. Squidville's a good film. Holds up.
Go and watch the Criterion Collection. Citizen Kane.
Squidville.
Obviously. Squidville.
Squidville.
Citizen Manchurian Kane. Candidate.
The funny thing is, we do canonically like have on the podcast the fact that I rated Citizen Kane as pretty good to mid, and I have just recommended Squidville. So...
Yep.
My power ranking...
Better than Citizen Kane.
My power ranking here is the fact that the Squidville episode of it is, in fact, better than Citizen Kane. And I stand by it. Anyways, you know what else I stand by?
How long do you think it's going to take for SpongeBob to do a Squid Games episode?
I don't...
The pun's right there.
Yeah, it's true. They did a, like... almost like tournament arc karate tower Mortal Kombat tower style episode that ended with someone selling timeshares at the island. Like, that was the final boss. So
Okay. They
could probably do, I think that, does that count?
Yep, that counts for me.
Is that Squid Games? Mortal Kombat into timeshare? That seems vaguely...
Well,
I mean,
the end boss is
seen...
capitalism, so it is Squid Games.
Yeah, I haven't seen... Squid Games, so I think that sounds...
Oh, they
nice
get a bunch
me.
Of squids and they do puzzles. It's fun.
Ooh, I'm in. All right. Well, you know what else I like? The Patreon supporters. Who's
Ooh.
The...
The Patreon Who's supporter of this supporter? Episode, the executive producer of this episode. Do you mean someone named Sean? Is that who you're talking about in this instance?
I'm talking about somebody, someone, just someone named Sean.
Okay.
I hope it's the same one you're talking about.
Well, I'm also talking about someone named Sean, but the someone named Sean that I'm talking about is the executive producer of this episode. Thank you very much for supporting the podcast over at patreon.com/turntopagecast. If that's the someone named Sean that you're talking about.
That is. I am talking about someone named Sean who is the executive producer of this episode. However, it is still unclear to me if they are the same person. It's the age old, what if I see different blue than you, you know? But it really makes you think about something.
If you say blue, I see a certain shade in my mind. If you say Sean, I see a certain someone in my mind. Are we seeing the same someone? Is your Sean the same as my Sean?
Yeah.
We'll get some confirmation on that.
Yeah, huge thank you. Someone named Sean. Thank you to all the wonderful Patreon supporters. Again, Turn to Page Cast, patreon.com/turntopagecast. Very helpful. This episode wouldn't exist without them. I mean, hell, who knows if any episodes would exist without them, but this one especially, you know, we use the Patreon to get these books so that we literally could do this episode. Otherwise, we could not. So, huge thank you there. But if you want to help the podcast in another free way, you can do so by going over to youtube.com/@turntopagecast. You can subscribe over there. Comments, likes, all that stuff is very useful, as well as leaving a review on any streaming service that you are listening to the podcast from. That is all another free way you can do your part. And hey, if you want to send a little direct message to us, turntopagecast@gmail.com. You can send us a little email, perchance, if you want to send us something either to read out or you just want to say something nice or whatever the heck. It's all very, very, very nice. Thank you, buddy, for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Adios.